709 News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Happy Thursday to you. Hope you did okay in the storm yesterday. I know some folks got some damage. Hopefully you weren't one of them, but if you are, hope it was light and your insurance company takes care of you. Joining us by phone now, we have Senator and former Governor Rick Scott on the line. Senator, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
It's always great to talk to you. There's so many things happening up here that impact Florida families, and so it's great to talk to you and just try to give people an understanding of what's happening up here.
Absolutely. Well, let's start with, I think, what is the news that has been on everybody's mind, this horrible atrocity in Texas where an 18-year-old legally apparently purchased two AR-style weapons, semi-automatic, so you have to pull the trigger every single time you shoot. It's not fully automatic, and I know President Biden doesn't seem to understand a lot of these distinctions, but it was still a horrific event, and you have proposed a law. Of course, you are well familiar with the various horrible incidents, including Parkland, happened here in Florida. Tell us about your proposal, first of all, and in general, what can be done to do this better at the federal level?
Sure. Well, first off, the first thing you think about is you always think about your own family. So, as you know, I have grandkids, some of them in grade school. And so you immediately think about them. And so what you do is you call your family and say, have you thought about this? Make sure you want your family safe, right? Then I think about all those people, all those families I met at Parkland. And I actually stay up with quite a few of them. And there's things we can do. So what we did after Parkland is we put together three groups. We put together a mental health group. We put together a how do you make schools safer group, the educators. And we put together a law enforcement group and say, what can law enforcement do more of? And we actually passed historic legislation within 30 days. And we said, what can we do that actually has an impact, right? That actually changes that. So we did a bunch of things, and I think every state should look at what we did. And you hope it never happens again. You hope you do everything you can. But what I've been working on up here in D.C. with the support of the Parkland parents is one, the Luke and Alex School Safety Act. And it codifies the federal school safety program. It's a clearinghouse that started under President Trump. But it gives parents information about what their school, you say, hey, these are the best practices for schools. How's your school doing? Pretty basic, pretty logical thing, because parents will force their schools to get better. That's one. Yesterday, we took it to the Senate floor. Chuck Schumer blocked it. Okay, and then put out a tweet that we were trying to make sure there was more guns in schools. Just complete lie. Then we also have the Eagles Act, which would expand the U.S. Secret Service's National Threat Assessment Center with a greater focus on school violence prevention. They do some of that now. We need to do more of that. Of course, the Democrats have blocked that also. Then we've got, sort of these red flag laws that says that if you're threatening harm to yourself or somebody else, then through law enforcement and going to court, not permanently, but going to court on a short-term basis, the court can say, hey, you don't have access to a gun while you have these violent tendencies. So what we've worked on with Senator Rubio up here is encourage adoption of red flag laws, not required in the state, because I think every state has to look at what fits their state. It's worked in Florida, but encourage adoption of these by providing some resources, but no obligation. So we've tried all those things since I've been up here. Unfortunately, the Democrats keep blocking them. They basically just want to take away your guns. I believe in the Second Amendment. I'm going to continue to fight for the Second Amendment. But there's some common sense things we can do to work to prevent things like Parkland and what happened in Uvalde.
Yeah, and the idea of taking the best practices, particularly like Florida, which has done a very good job on several of these fronts, hardening schools, hiring security officers, and I agree with you, the red flag laws, there's about 5,000 different incidents that have taken where people have had guns prohibited to them temporarily under the red flag law. I, unlike some gun advocates, I actually agree with the red flag law in principle. And that stuff works, and if we would just teach the nation how to do that, because not everybody does that. That's the idea. And the fact that Democrats are opposed to that is, very, very frustrating. I know. We are also...
I don't get it. Why don't Democrats care about school safety? Because they sit there and they propose things will never happen, and it violates our Constitution. But they propose that instead of saying, okay, we can do this now. This will have an impact, because we can say, hey, if we've done that, then Parker wouldn't happen. The other thing I did was I put a lot of effort into making sure the FBI changed their process, because in all of our shootings in Florida, the FBI had, you know, somebody had called their tip line first, and it just didn't get down to the locals. They completely revamped how they do it. And so I'm hoping, I went out to see it. It's out in West Virginia. They put a lot of effort. They didn't appreciate how aggressive I was in the beginning, but they actually, they changed. And so that's what your government should do. You should learn from mistakes. I mean, we hate mistakes that happen, but let's learn from them so it doesn't happen again.
Absolutely. I mean, as you say, that's the way government ought to be. And of course, when you have common sense legislation that there is no reasonable objection to, at least information, which is all the clearinghouse would be. We're talking to our Senator Rick Scott. Senator, a couple of local issues that are very important to us. One, obviously, you know that since the terrorist attack in 2019, NES Pensacola has been closed to the public. Only military and DOD cardholders have been allowed, except with those folks. There is a plan to put a road, well, to convert the road that goes through it into a public way that would be secure for the base and allow public access to the museum and the lighthouse. Can you just give us any indication? There's been some disagreement about whether Federal Department of the Navy has been stalling on this or not. Do you have a sense of how well this is progressing?
Well, until it's done, you're always frustrated, right? We've had lots of conversations. I'm on the Armed Services Committee. I've been talking to the Navy and the base and doing everything we can, make sure they have the resources to be able to do it. And so I'm optimistic that this is going to happen, but as you know, nothing happens very quickly. But I'm optimistic it's going to happen. It's just, up here, you just got to, work through. We do a National Defense Authorization Act once a year, and want to make sure we provide the resources to be, because you can't take away resources from what our military needs to be doing to make sure they're safe and they're lethal. So I'm continuing to work to make sure they have the resources to be able to do this.
Yeah, and that's a great comment that, you don't want to divert funds from protecting the country to create public access for the museum and the lighthouse. So you've got to find a different way to do it. And if we can, then, and also if we can do it in a way that's good for the Navy mission, obviously that's the first priority. Second question, I don't remember if you and I have talked about this before, and if we have, I apologize, but Alabama for the last several years has been pushing to rebuild the bayway between Spanish Fort and Mobile, the I-10 corridor there that's currently two lanes in either direction, and turn it into a toll road to fund it. Originally, they were talking about $6 each way. They've been talking about tolling trucks at $10 a pop. Now they're talking about $2.50 each way. I have no idea what their eventual landing is going to be, but they are committed to turning it into a toll road. Is there anything you can do to make sure that the I-10 reconstructed actually stays an interstate that's free?
I'm actually not familiar with what they're trying to do, but here was my experience when I was governor. We added a lot of managed lanes along federal highways, but we never took away the free lanes. And what it did was it allowed us the resources to be able to add more lanes, and it sped up when like in rush hour. I think it's like 95, Highway 95, we did it down in South Florida, and it took the rush hour traffic from an average of 25 miles an hour during rush hour to 45. Because some people would pay the extra money to go on the managed lanes. We did it on I-4, same thing. So my understanding at the time was you cannot take a federal highway and turn it into a toll. So to do that, I'm sure Andrew, I don't know about it, but I can't imagine you could do that without federal legislation to be able to do that. I'll now that you ask me, I'll try to find out what's going on with that, because I've never heard you can do that anywhere in the country.
Yeah, and that was my understanding too. Was only if you're adding, a separate one and keep the original one free, which of course is not what their plan is apparently. So I appreciate it. I thank you for looking into that. Last thing, I know we are all focused and thinking about Ukraine, but I think right now with inflation, the price of gas, the labor market, and GDP apparently declined one quarter, and maybe it's going to be in decline now. I'm concerned we're on the verge of a recession, or maybe in it already. What can be done, and how concerned do you think our listeners should be?
Well, I don't think there's any question we're going to head into a recession. When you see, if you just look at history, when you see gas prices where they are, it slows everything down, because you have to allocate so many resources to that, or food or electricity and all these things. We We already have one quarter of negative gross domestic product. We got a supply chain crisis. We got inflation. I think inflation is higher than the 8.3% they say. I mean, it's producer prices index is over 11. So, and this administration is doing nothing to fix it. What you have to do is you have to balance the budget. You have to stop the reckless spending. You've got to give people more money in their own pocket, you know, families and businesses. So you got to cut taxes and fees. You've got to fix the supply chain. You've got to reduce permitting, reduce the, you know, requirements on businesses. So make it easier for people to get in business to produce. We've got to become energy independent. The Federal Reserve has got to start dramatically reducing its balance sheet. And then we've got to start saying to ourselves, we're going to buy American products so we get America back to work. So if we do those things, then we're going to solve this inflation crisis and get this economy going again. But unfortunately, the Biden administration, just sort of puts their head in the sand and does nothing. And then when you push them hard, you know, then they just go blame people. So we've got to, you know, I'm trying to do it in Congress, but it's hard to do when you don't have a president and the other party's in power. So you've got to go, you know, I'm pushing every day to do these things, to balance the budget, to cut taxes and fees, reduce permitting. But it's not the people that Biden's appointing. They like big government. I mean, they've never been in the private sector. They don't know what it's like to deal with government. It's a bunch of bureaucrats and academics that have never run a business in their life.
Yeah, I know it's frustrating to work as the minority party, even though it's a slim minority. I know you're very much working to make sure that's not the case come November, and I certainly hope that that is a turnaround. Senator Rick Scott, as always, sir, thank you so much for the time, and thanks for your willingness to help us out with some of these issues like that toll road. I appreciate it.
All right, take care. See you, Andrew.
You bet.